Chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus put another parable to the crowd, and he said, "The kingdom of heaven can be compared to someone who sowed good seed in the field. But while everybody was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, 'Master, did you not plant good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy. An enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Well then, what do you want us to do? Go out and gather them up?' But he replied, 'No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers to go out and gather them together and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barns.' Then the crowd went into the house. And Jesus probably sat down and taught them. And the disciples approached him, saying, 'Tell us the meaning of the weeds in the field.' And he answered them, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evil doing. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father.' Let anyone who has ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I love a good story. I used to love, we would go to Silver Dollar City occasionally when we lived close enough, and there was a storyteller there, and I could sit for hours and just listen to her stories. And she was so good at it that they made me feel like I was part of the story. I would feel the joy, I would feel the anger, I would feel the fear. All of the emotions you can think of, you could feel within those stories because you became a part of the story. And I also enjoy telling stories, and I've learned over the years of being an herbalist that almost every plant has a story of its own. Let me give you an example of some that grow here, just a couple. One of them is a plant called Queen Anne's Lace. And most of you could recognize it. It's a beautiful plant, beautiful white blossoms. And if you dug up the root, it would smell like carrots. That's what gave it its other name, the wild carrot. And that root would make a real refreshing tea that you could drink and feel good about. However, there's another plant that is called a mimic plant. It mimics the Queen Anne's lace because it looks just like it. And if you dug up its root, it smells like carrots too. And you could make a tea out of it, but that tea would not be refreshing. It would be poisonous. That plant is called hemlock. Two plants, in fact, even though I know herbs, I could not distinguish between the two. So I would be very careful about serving somebody wild carrot tea. Never know what it is. Another plant that grows around here, the Indians used to refer to it as white man's foot. And the reason was that they said wherever white men walked, this plant would sprout up. It's called plantain. Now, it shoots up a stem with some seeds on it that some of you have probably taken. The seed is called psyllium. And the psyllium is good for all kinds of good things, for getting us moving. But also, the leaves have really healing properties. It will draw poisons out. And my father credited it with saving his arm from being amputated because of that. But that's another story. But those are the kind of stories that we like to tell. And I enjoy not only listening to stories, but telling stories, as you probably have figured out. I am a member of the Network of Biblical Storytellers. They're having a convention, it's a Zoom convention later in the month. I have the link to be able to attend some of the seminar parts. And the Network of Biblical Storytellers encourages the members to learn the scriptures by heart. Now, that is different than just memorizing the words. Memorizing the words, you get the words, but you don't get the meaning. We have a friend who literally has learned all four Gospels and Revelation. Sue and I have had an opportunity to hear him present these, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Revelation. And when he does it, it's not like he was reading the words off of a page like this. It's really a matter of feeling like you're in the story, God's story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God and dwelt among us. Well, that's just a little bit, but you get the point. I know of one of the people in the group who was on a seminar not long ago who's learned the entire book of Mark. And I've always thought, you know, that'd be a good thing to do sometime when I have nothing else to do. So I'll think about that. And I've done that from time to time also. But one of the parts of learning the scriptures by heart, especially for those who want to do the Gospels, is that we are supposed to dig into the scriptures deeper than most people would by actually going into the original Greek, so that we learn the words behind the words that are there. Translations are okay, but as you will see, as I will talk a little later, the words that are translated don't give you the full scope of what the words really mean. The writers of the Old Testament and the New Testament all witness to the fact that the Word of God is much more powerful than most of us realize. Isaiah, for instance, in the lesson today, refers to God as the beginning and the end. Actually, the words, again, go back to the Hebrew. The words are the Alpha and the Omega. The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter of the alphabet. God is all of that and everything in between. It is this God who really loves us with a passion. And St. Paul picks up on that and says that this is the God who loves us with so much passion that he wants us to refer to him as Daddy. Even when we don't have words, we can come to him and the Spirit will pray for us. That's how much he loves us. That much he comes to give himself to us. That's his story. That's history. Okay? His story, the Bible. And it's not always exactly the words that we are used to, but the Word of God comes to us in ways we never even dreamed of. Now, most of you probably know, and I don't want to burst somebody's bubble, but most of you probably know that the major news networks were not there the day of creation. All of that material from the first part of Genesis all the way to the time of David is told in stories and passed on from generation to generation as stories, true stories. Details may change and history might say it's not exactly that way, but the major meaning of the story is still the same. God is in the beginning and God is in the end, all the way. Most of you probably realize that, or know that Johann Sebastian Bach wrote lots of music. But did you know that in the upper corner of the first page of each piece of music that he wrote, he put the initials J.J.? And then the last page, at the corner, at the bottom of the last page, he put S.D.G. The J.J. stands for Jesus Help Me. Bach realized that he needed God to help him write music. And at the end, he puts S.D.G., which was the Latin for Soli Deo Gloria. To God be all the glory. So from the beginning of his music all the way to the last note, he gives glory to God because that's where it all comes from. And this great God Almighty, Paul says, adopted us as his children. And he wants us to pray to him. Now, I've told the story before of Saint Joan from George Bernard Shaw, who wrote this play about Joan being before the king, and the king is frustrated because he says, "Oh, these voices you hear, I'm the king. Why don't I hear the voices?" And Joan says to him, "But you do. He does speak to you. But when the bell rings, you cross yourself and have done with it, and you're done. You don't sit and listen to the voice of God." A message for all of us, that God really does come to us. God really does speak to us. He comes because he wants to be a part of us. Daddy to us. Jesus is the ultimate storyteller, isn't he? Not just in the parables, but he tells us his stories through his life, death, and resurrection. And everything in between is God's story of how much God loves us. He loves us so much that he's willing to give his own life and his death on the cross, so that we might have life, and life everlasting. I was reading a story this past week by Max Lucado about some research that has recently been done. He was telling about how the plague, the black plague, they called it bubonic plague, just ravished Europe. And some whole villages were wiped out because of it. Everybody died. But there was one village, Eam, England, where for 300 years, while this was still raging, they had no deaths from the bubonic plague. And to the point where he said there was one woman who buried six of her children and her husband in 1 week. Imagine that. But she didn't get it. The grave digger who had buried all of these people didn't get it. In fact, half of the village did not get the bubonic plague. So researchers just not that long ago decided to check the DNA of the descendants of those who survived. And what they found was a gene within their DNA strand that they believe prevented them from getting it. Something I hope we'll be able to find out with COVID too, that there is a gene and maybe they can somehow or other give that to all of us so that we don't have to mess with that COVID. But the whole point that Paul makes is that God has adopted us as his children and placed his DNA within us to prevent us from getting the deadly plague of sin. It's all around us. And Jesus points out, it's like the weeds in the field. Now, the word that's used for weeds in this particular case, some translations refer to it instead of weeds as being tares. The other word that's translated for that is darnel. Now, if you know anything about wheat and darnel, darnel is a plant that at the outset looks exactly like wheat. The problem with it is it's a mimic plant, like hemlock and Queen Anne's lace. And because of that, you can eat wheat all you want. Might get a little fat eating all that, but you get the point. But darnel is actually poisonous and will kill people. Jesus says it's that is growing up among the others. And when the servants say, well, should we go out there and pull it up? He says, no, don't pull it up. If you do, you're going to uproot the wheat too. Let it grow. And then he gives us another message that sometimes it's hard for us as humans to follow because we don't really like to do it. But he says, leave them alone. I'll send my angels to do the judging. You don't need to judge. I'll send the angels. They'll take care of it. That's not your thing to do. Your thing to do is to grow as servants of the Lord. And I think within this, there is that hope within Jesus that even the weeds, the poisonous weeds, might hear the good news and share it. There, in the secret of Santa Vittoria, there is a small village that has been able to buy this beautiful bell in their church. And this bell just rings so gloriously. It's one of those where you want to just sit and listen to the bell. It wakes them up in the morning. It rings at noon to tell them when to take a break to eat. It rings at night and evening to tell them when they can stop working. And it rings on Sunday morning to tell them to come to worship. And they are so pleased with this beautiful bell. But there's a problem. Somebody in the village found out that somebody in the village next door could hear their bell. And that whole village over there was getting up when the bell rang. They would stop for lunch at noon when the bell rang. They would stop working when their bell rang. And they would go to church when their bell rang. And they thought, so we got to do something about this. They had a big town council meeting and they said, what are we going to do? This village is taking advantage of the sound of our bell. Well, they came up with the solution. And it was a good one. They put cork on the clapper so that the only ones who could hear the bell were those in their own village. Those in the other village couldn't hear it. What Jesus is telling us is that we should not put a clapper on God's word, on the good news. There is always that hope that somehow they will hear God's good news and be converted, changed in some way that is beyond our understanding. There's a poem that I enjoyed over the years that expresses, I'm not going to share the whole thing with you, but it's called The House by the Side of the Road. Some of you probably learned it and memorized it. It goes like this. It's by Sam Walter Foss. Let me live in a house by the side of the road where the race of men go by. The men who are good and the men who are bad, as good and as bad as I. I would not sit in the scorner's seat nor hurl the cynic's ban. Let me live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man. I see from my house by the side of the road, by the side of the highway of life, the men who are faint with strife. But I turn not away from their smiles nor their tears, both parts of the infinite plan. Let me live in my house by the side of the road and be a friend to men. May we be the tellers of good news stories. May we be those who share with both the wheat and the weeds of the world in hopes that all may enjoy the presence of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.